All right, Brother Joe.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Yeah, about that, the wizard again. The wizard again.
Yeah.
You can go. There's nothing
not bad. Not bad.
We'll be in Luke 9 this morning. And I'm going to pray and send to Heavenly Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to have a place to come and to hear your word, to study your word, to fellowship. Because this Bible study is really not about, it's more about discipleship than anything else. Heavenly Father, I ask that you come into this room, you fill this place, and let my words be your words. Open up our ears to hear and our hearts to be transformed. And I ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're on Luke 9 this morning, and I thought I was doing Luke 9 Friday, but Jeremy did text me last night, but it didn't come through, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
You saw it.
Oh, I know. But I was ready anyway. So, all right, there's 62 verses in this chapter. Yeah, so we ain't reading all that.
What chapter?
9. I'm going to read some of it, and we'll talk about it, try to figure out what's going on. So, at the beginning, Jesus sends out his 12 apostles. And he called them.
What version,
team? I mean, ESV. Extra special version. And he called the 12 together. And he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake the dust off your feet, and have a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. That's pretty much the Great Commission in a nutshell. While Jesus was still on earth, he sent out his disciples. Look around this room. We all his disciples. We all sitting here because Jesus called us. What are we doing to share the gospel of Jesus? And he tells them not to take anything. Why not? Be dependent on God. Let God guide you. When somebody gives you a problem, shake the dust off your feet. Look, whether it's family, friend, whatever. Jeremy and I have this conversation already. I do not take negativity lightly in my life. I will shake my dust. And when I tell you I'm done, I'm done. You ain't coming back. I love you from a distance. The Bible says to love you, doesn't have to like you. You know, so it is, what are we doing to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God in our lives? Can people see that in us? You know, I encounter a couple of people a day. I work by myself thinking, Jesus. It helps me keep it, but like Jeremy's in the, sees people all the time. Eddie, Craig, Mike, it's, what are we doing so that people can see the love of Jesus or see Jesus in us? I got a 13-year-old little boy that works that follows me around. And I have to be very, because I don't need Mendoza calling me. But it's what are we doing? What are we saying? What are we, our actions? Because words will get us in trouble more than anything. Says power, life, or death is in the tongue. You can control your tongue, you can control everything. So it is, and we have all the authority, the same authority that Jesus gave the disciples, we have. We have the power to cure demons, to cast out demons. We have the power to cure diseases. It's the gifts of the Spirit. But the thing is, we all have the gifts of the Spirit, but are we tapped into them? There's 9 of them. And if any of y'all had got a chance to do with Pastor Randy, he did the 9 gifts of the Spirit, a thing on it. It was intense. And we all have those gifts, but we don't operate them, And I'm a firm believer that God, you will operate those gifts when it's needed. to walk around, I can't, be healed. I can't do all that, But I believe if I can pray over you, lay hands on you, that there's power in the word, in prayer. I mean, y'all had one at Freedom this year that was pretty brutal.
Yes.
It's just pray for people. That's where your authority is, And I thought, when somebody says, can you pray for me? Well, we praying right now.
Yeah.
Well, no. We're going to pray right now or I'll be done.
Yeah. Yes. You're gone.
I'm not going to pray. That, you didn't want to pray that bad. You were just saying something to appease me.
Yeah.
We're going to pray right now.
Right here.
Let's get it on.
Amen.
Yeah, right here, right now.
Amen.
When you do that, people are like taken aback. Like, whoa, I didn't know. It's almost embarrassing for some people because now you got somebody, you're in the middle of public, somebody laying their hands on you, and people are staring at you. It don't bother me. You didn't want prayers, you're not. That's how I look at it. If you want me to pray for you, it's going to happen right here, right now. He just gave them all power and authority to, and like I said, he gives us the same thing. We just to be able to walk in it and to show what Christ can do for them. I was having a talk, I forgot who I was talking to. You can argue the word of God with me every day, but you can't argue with my testimony and what God done in my life.
Amen.
Because it's on me. It's not written down in the book. It's what I went through, and I know what God has done in my life. And that's probably one of the most powerful things. Pastor Scott used to say they got five gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and yours. And I think that's what's the most prevalent thing in how we is to what God has done in our lives. Especially somebody's on the fence. It's just to sit down and talk with them. And then look, and it's like I said, that's all about discipleship right there. I sit with men, I'm sure most of y'all do. It's just, I don't have to know everything. I just got to be in the spirit in that moment to know what do you need me to tell you? And I sit with God. First question I ask him is, what are you looking for? What are you trying to accomplish right here for me to sit with you? And, most of them just guide me on my walk. I can do that. And don't, and what works for me might not work for you. This is what I did, and this is how I accomplished that. If it don't work for you, something in what I said and something in what I'm doing, it might be look a little different, but we're going to accomplish the same goal. Just to be consistent. That's all God wants us to be consistent. Just be consistent in what you do. In your prayer in the morning, get up in the morning, you read your Bible, you pray, you spend a long time. And that's what the message yesterday was about, is going to your prayer closet. You spend time with God. Spend time with Jesus. And he'll lead you on the way. He'll lead you down that path. Just be ready. Just talk about that. Mike was just saying that the highs and lows, he said some of the highest parts, he looks back, some of the highest points in his life were his lowest. Some of your lowest points in your life might be your highest. Yeah, I was down, but I was low, but this is where God reached out to me and guided me back. And we just about, usually when we get to lows, you just lose our focus for a little minute. Just always be focused on God. All right, now we're going to go to Jesus Feeds the 5,000. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew 5-7. I think it's 5-7. When they returned, the apostles told him all that he had done, all they had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. Hey, they found Bethsaida too, the archaeologists did. It was missing. Yeah, they just found it, discovered where Bethsaida was. The biblical Bethsaida, not the one on NCIS in Virginia. When the crowds learned it, they followed him. And he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God. It cures those who had need healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away and go to surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions. For we are here in a desolate place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. Now, how many times have the Holy Spirit tapped you and you go pray for that lady? Jeremy tells a story about praying for somebody in an elevator.
Yeah.
You felt that nudge, hey, go pray for Eddie.
Something in my eye.
Yeah, something in my eye. You feel it again, hey, go pray for Eddie. Yeah. I don't know if I want to.
Must be him.
Yeah. So, God, is that you? Like, God will talk to me, but God's not going to have a conversation first. You know, just be obedient. You know? And here he's saying, you feed them.
You.
And they're looking around like, us? We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know? Now they just, God, Jesus had just released them and showed them his power where they were healing people and casting out demons. And here we are doubting again. You feed them. You have what it takes. Do it. And I don't think, I know I'm not speaking for me personally. I have what it takes. Sometimes I just don't want to do it. I'm going to be honest. That's just fact. You know? Like I said, God and I have a conversation. It might be, I might call Eddie 2 weeks later and say, hey, I was going to pray for you. But God told me that 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the problem. Just walk in obedience. You know, everybody says, you don't know what's on the other side of obedience, but you also don't know what's on the other side of disobedience. Mm-hmm. That's a two-way street. So they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, now that's 5,000 men. They're not counting the women and the children. This, they estimate up to 10,000 people. So, had them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so. And had them all sit down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. Said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to step before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied, which was left over. Excuse me, was picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces. First, sit down in groups of 50. He took the bread and the fish. What's the first thing he did?
Blessed.
Looked up to heaven and he blessed
him.
Came to God with a pure heart. This is what we need. Look, and we know Jesus is the Son of God. It's not, I mean, we know that. Jesus is God. But he blessed it through the Father. He didn't operate in his own works. He operated through what the Father said. And when this is about servanthood, you realize there's 5,000 men. He's on the Sermon on the Mount. You know what a mount is? A hill. The disciples would go down, give bread and fish, come back up with a basket. Go back down with a basket. Come back up with a basket. How often do we have to walk uphill to meet God? Our life is an uphill battle. You know, we don't know. I mean, the Bible says we don't know the hour of the day. We don't know what God's plan is. And I was having a conversation with, as a matter of fact, Jimmy Craven, who didn't show up last Wednesday.
No condemnation.
No condemnation. We love you, Jimmy. But it's the, I don't even know where I was going with that.
up and down
the hill.
Go.
I still don't remember. Squirrel. But it's the, how many times do we find a struggle? Oh, I know what it was. I forgot what we were talking about, and I said, I don't have to know the plan. I just have to trust the plan.
Amen.
And I think that's the hard part, is trusting the plan. Because we don't know what's on the other side. We don't know. Pastor Obed said this years ago. He said, God will show you your start point and show you your destiny, but he won't show you the journey, because a lot of us won't do it.
Yeah.
You know, imagine if Jesus would have said, follow me, but this is what's going to happen to you, Peter, and this is how you're going to die.
Take the step.
Peter might have said, I'm out. You know, I'm going to stay fishing.
Yeah, that's true.
That ain't for me.
And look, when we walk in people, and if, God, if you think people are watching you, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're waiting for you to fall.
Uh-huh, I told you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. You know, but the way you respond to that, it's not even worth my words to argue with somebody. It's just to see once I fall, how fast I get back up, and to show them that even though I fell, God was still faithful, and I'm moving forward, and I came out better when I fell than I was before. You know, just you know, just if you get comfortable, if you're comfortable, you're not growing. You know, God don't want you comfortable. He don't want you content. You know, and the only way you grow is to get uncomfortable. You know, have a man in your life, like Jeremy always says, get a man. You know, it's the, how uncomfortable do you want to be? How much do you want to get closer to God? That's the question. Not how comfortable you want to be. Look, I sit with people and I have people speaking in my life, and sometimes it's hard, you know? Like Pastor Scott said, if I can cut you, I can use you. If I can't cut you, I ain't got no use for you.
Sure.
You know? And I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. You know, a lot of people walk around just looking for people to agree with them. Mm-hmm. Even though they're wrong. Mm-hmm. They just need, and once they get that one person that agree with them, mm-hmm. out of 100 people, they're going to say, oh, look, Andre agreed with me. Andre said I was right, but the other 99 said you were wrong. You got one. So that means you're both fools. That's what that means.
Yeah.
No offense, Andre. I'm just. So, don't walk around somebody agreeing with you. Come to God. If you know you're wrong, God's going to convict you that you are wrong. Repent, turn around, and come back. That's all spiritual maturity. How fast you turn around and come back. That's spiritual maturity.
Yes.
All right, Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. We all know this story. Who do you say I am? Who's the crowd say I am? John the Baptist, Elijah, and others. But Peter said, the Christ of God. And in other versions, it says, God made that known to you. Right here, it just says, the Christ of God, and it goes on. But that was a revelation through God. Then he tells him not to tell nobody. He starts talking about his death. He strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. I would have liked to have wondered what would have been my response on that. Think about it. If you were an apostle, what would your response would have been? They actually don't know what he's talking about. But where do we... We all know Jesus died, rose from the dead, all that. And that's what our faith hinges on, is the resurrection. It's not the death. It's the resurrection. If Christ didn't rise, he's just another God, another prophet.
Yeah.
That's it. But he rose from the dead, and that's why faith... That's what Christianity is based on, is the resurrection of Christ. As the true Son of God. You know, I like to put myself in the apostle's shoes, and when he says something, it's like, how would I have responded to that? You know, because he's talking about he's dying. And Peter just acknowledged that he was the Son of God. He was the Christ. And now he's telling him he's going to die. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute. You know? And here's where we all struggle with. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. And he said to all, if anyone would come enter after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes to me. In his glory and to the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And I think that's where our biggest struggle is right there. It's denying self. You deny yourself, that means denying your flesh. The battle isn't between human and human. The battle is flesh and spirit. You know, and we, look at my flesh is pretty strong. Just say, you know, that sometimes it's stronger than my spirit. Sometimes my spirit's stronger than my flesh. But it's to stay out of that, to stay out of that. And I forgot, look, us all sitting here is reality. That's a reality. But in the spirit sense, is it a reality? We all connected spiritually, not fleshly. That's why we're all here. It's a spiritual journey, it's not a flesh journey. That's why we're all in here. That's why we go to Bible study, that's why we go to church. It has nothing to do with the flesh. It's all about the spirit. It's about feeding your spirit. Nothing else. And Pastor Jason teaches on that all the time. But it's Christ in me. That's who needs to be fed. Not me. I need spiritual food, not just food we can eat over here and have a good meal. That's temporary. Christ in me is eternal. You know, and I sure don't want to die and go to heaven and find out Jesus was ashamed of me. I want to hear, well done, my faithful servant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. I do not want to hear,
everything else is not.
You know, I will deny you in front of the Father. You know, you hear that, that's a bad day in the office. You know, but just to get, to hear it. And look, if you look around, when you feel like God's not here and God's not showing up in your life, God will give you a little pat on the back every once in a while. There you go, good job, sir. There you go.
Yeah.
Look, I'll give you a little peanut for you to be happy. You know, then we get all happy and then the next thing you know, we're back into where we were. Ride the wave. God gives it to you. He keeps showing you. You know, it says your storehouses will be open. Riches, but everybody associates the riches with financial. That's not necessarily. That's not necessarily true. You know, it's riches are, I'm not sick, my wife's healthy, I got 6 grandkids, I got 3 children, I've been married 33 years, I got a house, a roof over my head. I got peace. I got joy. That's riches. I got people that love me. I got people that love me because they have to. But the thing is, that's riches.
Yeah.
You know? Not tithing, giving you 10% to church. God don't need your money. God wants to see if you're obedient. He's checking your obedience. Look, I had a hard time tithing. I'm not going to lie. But once I started tithing, life changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I took a job making less money than I was making, and now I have more money in my bank account. Make that make sense?
Yeah.
It should.
No.
About stewardship. How a steward. So, I want to get to one last thing real quick. The transfiguration. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter, John, and James and went up in the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white, kind of like mine today, white. And behold, 2 men were talking with Moses and Elijah, with him. Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy asleep. Here we go, Peter sleeping again. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the 2 men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said, as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And the voice that spoke, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And told one of them in those days anything of what they had seen. Moses didn't make it to the promised land, right? He's in the promised land right there. He's in the promised land right there. He saw the promised land. Now I want to know how Peter, John, and James knew that was Elijah and Moses.
That's what I was always wondering.
They had Snapchat. They had Facebook. They had X, they had Telegram, they had TikTok. How did they know that? That's the interesting question. And that's the question nobody can answer. That's the only way God had to reveal it to him. That, you know, I mean, I wouldn't know what any of y'all look like, and y'all showed up in a room and they would say, oh, there's Byron. Who's Byron? You know, there's Dexter. Who's Dexter? You know, but they specifically said Moses and Elijah.
That's the spirit.
That's the interesting question. And in glory, where Jesus was almost disfigured. You know, I always wondered, is like, when Jesus appeared after his resurrection, they didn't recognize him. Because he was on his glory. They had never seen him in his glory. They had just seen the human form. They had never seen the glory form. And then, right here, at the end, once again, God speaks. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. So my question is for you. Are you listening to him? He tells you to love your neighbor. Do you love your neighbor? He ain't talking to God across the street. He ain't talking about somebody. But he's talking about, these are your neighbors. Everybody in here. You know? The Ten Commandments are easy. That's human. The first four are about God. The next one's about human. We can follow the last six commandments. Thou shalt not murder, honor thy father and mother, covet, don't steal. That's easy. Well, for some of us, it was easy. I went away for a little while because I couldn't follow. They gave me a number for a little minute. At least my rent was cheap. Can we follow the spiritual side of God's laws? The spirit side. You know, that's why they had to sacrifice, because they couldn't. And Mendoza's been big on that. It's in Hebrews the last month or two. It's the spiritual side. It's what Jesus has done for us. You know, that's the hey look, I've been trying to quit smoking for years, but Jesus died for me and I can't give up a cigarette. Think about that logically. Makes no sense. He didn't even know who I was. Well, he knew who I was, but
yeah.
You know, and
he called you.
It's in Romans where it says, even though I was the only one on earth, Christ still would have died for me. Mm-hmm. That's just to wrap your head around that. How much God and Jesus love us. They talk about unconditional love. We don't even fathom that.
No.
We cannot fathom. Because I guarantee you, somewhere, even if your kids, your wife, or whatever, you got conditions in there hidden. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. You know, we wash the dishes thinking we're going to get lucky that night. You know, that's a condition. That's an expectation. You know, I've learned to quit putting expectations on things because I'm going to be let down.
So see, bro.
You know, and that's why a lot of where our disappointment comes from, because we put a false expectation on something. You know, I expect you to do this and you don't, now I'm mad. Well, first of all, I didn't tell you what I expected you to do. We put an expectation, we don't tell them. You know, and we do that with people all the time. I expect you to do this and they don't do it. You know, it's quit putting expectations on people. Just love them. You know, and Craig and I got a Bible lesson Saturday before the Bible study. Mendoza was on Genesis 1 through 4, like, and he was laying it down for a good 15, 20 minutes. You know, when God created the earth, everything was good. That's how we need to see things. It doesn't matter. Look, it's all in the news about this. Was that Lindsay Clancy that killed her three kids? You know what? She's still a daughter of God.
Amen.
She's still a child of God. No matter what she did,
yeah,
how horrible it was, we have to love her.
Unconditional.
She's a child of God. And just because they're not on the same journey as us, because all our walks are different. You know, do I think it was right of what she did? Absolutely not. I can love her but hate what she did. Love the person, hate the sin. A lot of us hate the sin and the person. You know, and we'll get caught up in it. I mean, that's a whole rabbit trail we don't need to go down.
Yeah.
But if we see, I've been doing that for the last year and a half or two. See, everything and everyone is good. You know? And Paul LeBlanc says it all the time. I don't get offended because you can't offend a dead man. Mm. You die to yourself every day. And what does that look like? God bless you. Mm. What does that look like dying to yourself every day? That's getting out of the way. Mm. Let Jesus operate in your life. You know, take up your cross. Cross is a sign of death.
Right.
Today we got it on a little necklace. We got it on our books. We got a ring. We got our earrings. No. If they truly understood what that cross meant, I don't know if I'd wear one. Because that's kind of scary. You know, back in those days, they should take up your cross. That means you carry, they're about to hang. They're about to nail you to the cross. Strap you to the cross. However you want to hang. However you want to do it. They're going to break your legs 6 hours after to see if you're still alive. You know? Think about it. How? What? Take up your cross. Die to yourself. That's what he's saying. Die to yourself every day. Walk in my spirit and let me guide you. It's not hard. Well, it is hard. Christianity is so easy, it's hard. It's simple. We make it difficult. If we would just get out of the way, let Jesus live on us and guide us, life's easy. But we walk out these doors, and here it's easy.
Yep.
We walk out these doors, and then the world gets us. Somebody cuts us off in traffic. We just that Bible study. Now we're dropping that bombs and showing them they're number one. You know, it's how far. You know, it's that's not letting the Spirit lead you. Just try to see things as God sees them. Try to see people as God sees them. That's the hard part. And some people we were just talking about, I won't tell you about sympathy, but it's just that some people just, we don't get it. Sometimes I'm one of those people. I don't get it, you know, and I'll withhold my love. I withhold something from you because I can. And I want to show you that I'm more powerful than you. That usually don't end well for me, but at the time it's personal gratification. It's selfish. In my flesh. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for giving us this time, dear Heavenly Father. I ask that you go out in the Spirit, protect each one of these men, their wives, their families, their kids, their grandkids. That Spirit goes before us this week and the rest of our days. Guard us, guide us, and keep us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.